everybody that you run into. How in the world do you think anybody's supposed to respect you? It's a brand new day. Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. I'm Sheldon Brown, and that's our new theme music from Joe Cocker called Respect Yourself. Really loving that new theme music. We're just trying to get a call through to Wellington. Just not too sure how we're doing there. Declan, are we on track to make a call through?
It's telling me that the PIN number access is incorrect, so if you want to just check that.
Oh, okay. I'll have to...
I'll have to put some music on shortly, but I'll try and get this going anyway.
Yeah, well, let's get some music on first, and then we can introduce our guest once we've got through. Well, only again.
Hold that thought. Keep talking for a moment.
We don't sleep in no. So today on Take It From Us, we are bringing you two interviews. The first with Charlisa Harris, who is the director and founder of a group called Two Face Drama. It's a Wellington-based drama group. All 40 performers have lost someone in their life to suicide, and their production focus is about giving young people hope. Since appearing on 7 Sharp, which is TV1's program, Charlisa says the group has received hosting offers from communities all over the country. Charlisa, who lost her father to suicide when she was young, says the performers, who are all under the age of 25, are passionate about suicide prevention and keen to get the message out to Kiwis. She's quoted here as saying, "If you get a group of Maori youth in a room, the sad truth is the majority of them have probably had a whānau or family member who has committed suicide. We're just on fire to get out there and help other people because we know how much it hurts." So we'll bring you Charlisa as soon as we've been able to call her in Wellington. Let's take a music break, Declan, so we can just give ourselves some breathing room.
Yep, I've got a very quick little track for you. It's Danny's song from, I can't remember her name, but anyway, here it comes in a moment. Having all sorts of drama this morning. Oh no, give you something different. See, here we go.
Making my way home to town, and I Sometimes I think I'm the only cab on the road. The days are better, the nights have stayed so long for me. Sometimes I think I'm the only cab on the road. Sometimes I think I'm the only cab on the road.
Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. I'm Sheldon Brown, and we were hoping to bring you an interview with Charlisa Harris from Wellington. She is not available on her mobile at the moment, and we are hoping also to bring you a second interview with Liv Young, who wants to share a project she's been working on this year called Mental. We were going to do that after 1 o'clock today, so we're a bit seat of the pants, but one of the things that I wanted to refer to was a really excellent article in the Herald, part of the Herald's Break the Silence series that they've been doing, which is focused very much on youth suicide. The headline read, "We have a problem and we need to talk about it." It was an excellent interview with the new health minister, David Clark, who has vowed to do more to tackle youth suicide. And he points the finger at the previous government. So the article read this way, that new Health Minister Dr. David Clark has levelled a stinging accusation at the previous government and his predecessor, Jonathan Coleman. And I must say that Take It From Us has not been shy about criticising the former Minister of Health, and Jonathan Coleman, of course, was the Minister of Mental Health. We made often a comment about the fact that he was clearly not responding to the Herald's major series on youth suicide, and the Herald made it very clear that Jonathan Coleman was not available for interview. He did eventually, after weeks, front up, but it does appear that when it came to negative news, the former Minister of Health was nowhere to be seen. Now, Clark, who is the new Minister of Health under the Labor-led government, made the comments during an interview with the Herald as part of its Break the Silence campaign on youth suicide. The interview charted the new government's hopes for greater suicide prevention and a pledge from the minister that more would be done to save the lives of those contemplating taking their own. The Herald reiterates the seriousness of the teen suicide statistics. They are the worst in the developed world, and we have the second greatest number of self-inflicted deaths among those aged 25 and under. The latest statistics had the highest number of suicides ever since they've been recorded, which is over the last 8 to 9 years, and that figure was 606 in the year to June. Clark was critical of Coleman and the previous government during the interview, saying officials were frustrated over the failure to develop a new suicide prevention strategy after the previous one expired a year ago. He also criticised Coleman for failing to match an increase in people seeking mental health support with funding. If asked if that cost lives, Clark initially said it was very hard on an individual level to say that somebody died because of a lack of funding. He then said, "The proposition you put is one that seems reasonable to me, that if you don't support people, more people are going to take their own lives. I don't think we can deny that." So David Clark was asked how he felt about there being no current suicide prevention policy, and he said, "I have expressed publicly frustration with the previous minister. I don't think there's much point dwelling on that now. I feel the burden of office that I have picked up. I want to make sure we are in a position as government to find solutions." Labor campaigned on mental health and pledged the return of the Mental Health Commissioner and an inquiry into mental health. Terms of reference and other details around the inquiry were yet to be settled, Clark said, but he forecast it as wide-ranging, considering issues of colonialisation and poverty. He spoke of hardship or the after effects of colonisation or trauma in their own lives or personal histories. Shutting down debate on suicide did not deal with a persistent issue, and I think it's fair to say that Take It From Us has had guests talking about suicide prevention who have been stressing that shutting down debate on suicide did not deal with a persistent issue. He's quoted here as saying, I think we need a public conversation about this. We can't avoid it as a country. We have a problem and we need to talk about it. But he also challenged media to tell stories of survival and recovery and not to dwell only on those who had taken their lives. David Clark had experiences of suicide in his family and among those he knew or had met through his work as a Presbyterian minister of or as a Youthline counsellor. But he said those experiences would not be unusual for any New Zealander, with everyone likely to be able to relate a personal story of suicide affecting those in their lives. Coleman would not be interviewed on the comments, and I've reiterated that earlier in our broadcast today. Through a spokeswoman, he said Dr. Clark has made it clear for some months that he believes the Minister of Health is accountable for New Zealand's suicide rate. It's now up to him to set targets and to meet them. And I think it's fair to say that the previous government was very afraid of setting targets and then being judged as to whether they had met those targets. He also said officials would not be pleased to have the new minister speaking publicly about those in the previous government. So we've got a little bit of a conflict between the new Minister of Health and the previous Minister of Health. So this is a really excellent article which appeared November the 13th in the Herald. I would really urge our people to, our listeners to get hold of this interview if they can. It says here in the article that the nation will again have a mental health commission, which National shut down in 2012. This is what a change of government looks like, big promises and willing interview subjects. Dr. Jonathan Coleman spent months avoiding interview requests as the Herald investigated, then launched its Break the Silence campaign, calling for a debate on youth suicide. While Coleman grudgingly agreed to be interviewed, Clark welcomed the Herald into his office and pledged to address an issue which claimed the lives of 606 people last year. Well, this is Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio. I'm Sheldon Brown. Let's take, are we going to take a radio or we've got our interviewee? Oh, Liv is on. That's wonderful. Okay. Are you hearing us, Liv?
I'm going to take her off hold, I think. One moment.
So we're just waiting to speak to Liv Young about her book called Mental. It's a publication centred around real stories of New Zealand individuals and their personal experiences with mental health.
I think she should be on now. All going well?
Hello.
Hi, Liv.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. How are you, Sheldon?
I'm good. Well, I'm a little stressed, actually, because our phone contacts and connections haven't been working for us this afternoon. But I'll just I was just introducing you, Liv. Liv, who works in the arts and entertainment industry, says she and a friend have teamed up to create a space for New Zealanders to voice their experiences of mental health issues through this publication. So Liv, this is very much just a proposal at this stage. You've sort of launched this proposal. You want to get it off the ground, and I think you're campaigning for funding as well.
Yes, that's correct. This idea came about a year ago, and I reached out to a friend of mine, Charlotte Rose, who's co-producing our book named Mental with me. And over the past year, we have developed a strategy and a vision for the project and begun receiving submissions. We've got about 80 so far, and we're hoping to collect upwards of 200 contributions from around New Zealand.
So they are personal stories, personal contributions of people's experience with their own mental health and also with mental health services. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, that's correct. We've kept it. We've kept the brief quite broad. We are looking for subjective experiences through written text. So this could be through long-form prose, or it could be a short story, or it could be a poem. We're leaving that up to the individual. And in terms of the subject matter, it could be about the day-to-day experiences of an individual with their mental illness. It could be working through the issues and stresses of the mental health system, or perhaps the triumphs. Could be talking about their medication, or perhaps, you know, a colleague or a dear friend or family member who, you know, who they interact with who has some form of mental illness.
Well, this coincides with the new Labor-led government that we were just quoting from a major story that the Herald ran on the 13th of November, which was part of their Break the Silence series on youth suicide. And that story was headlined, "We Have a Problem and We Need to Talk About It." And the Labor-led government is promising to bring back the Mental Health Commission and also establish an inquiry into the mental health system. So is it just a coincidence that you are contemplating your project at the same time as these major developments are happening?
It's a great question. I think it's a great coincidence. You know, Charlotte and I wholeheartedly support the government's decision to investigate mental health further and to put better prevention and support systems in place for the mental health of New Zealanders. You know, it's terrifying to think that, you know, there were over 600 suicides in 2016 alone. And I read an article the other day that you know, there's just under 12% of 15 to 24-year-olds that are affected by psychological stress, according to the Ministry of Health. So, you know, the rates are increasing in New Zealand, and I think it's excellent that the government are putting their they're very proactive about the way in which they're going to approach mental health in the new government.
Liv, how did you get interested in mental health and be contemplating writing a book, or are you calling it a book? Or
we're calling it a publication. But we believe it will become both an online and a physical print publication. In the online space, where we're hoping it becomes a tool or a reference point for people who may not have access to the book. As for why I am interested in mental health, when I was about 17 years of age, I was in my final year at school, and I had the opportunity to go to Nepal to hike through the Khumbu mountain range towards Everest Base Camp. And I started experiencing sort of a low to medium level of anxiety, and it was quite foreign to me. And at the time, this was about 14 years ago, and at the time there certainly wasn't any media or even really medical information that was easily accessible to young people or to the average New Zealander, for that matter, around anxiety. And I came back from this trip wondering why I had all sorts of, you know, like racing thoughts and supposed heart palpitations and just a general nervousness. And I was fortunate to educate myself through some therapy around anxiety and what that meant to me and why I might have it. And that took place over a few years, and it developed into an interest not only in mental health but just into gaining more awareness of what mental health meant for me and how to best look after my health and well-being in the most holistic sense possible, or way possible.
Well, what do you understand about why that anxiety hit you at the age of 17 when you were in Nepal and in the presence of huge mountains like Everest and that sort of thing? Was it just the fear that something in nature might get you, or do you think it was something else?
I think 17 is quite a turning point in any young person's life. The pressure of career, of doing well at school, of social situations, you know. And I was a high achiever who had high expectations, and a highly social individual. And I think it was a culmination of all of those that led me to experiencing some form of anxiety.
Would it be fair to say that you were a bit of a perfectionist?
Absolutely. And I still am to this day.
I don't think perfectionism and mental health go too well together.
No, they're not very good friends. No. And as for why I chose to pursue this at this point in my life, Charlotte Rose, my dear friend who I'm co-producing this book with, Charlotte was diagnosed a couple of years ago with bipolar disorder, and she experienced psychosis over the course of about a year. Charlotte would be able to give you more details than I. But I was heavily involved as her friend and supporter through that time, and I really witnessed the courage and strength it took for Charlotte to understand bipolar and what that meant to her.
Can I just interrupt here? She's quite happy for you to talk about her diagnosis and her mental health?
Yes, absolutely. Charlotte has become she's become a bit of a hero and has spoken openly with the media several times, and is very happy for me to talk about it. And that is, you know, was a catalyst for me approaching her for us to do this project together.
Right. So, have you had to sort of capture courage to get through the challenges, the mental health challenges that you may have had over the, I think you've said, the last 15 years?
Definitely. I think it's made me more intuitive and socially and cognitively aware as an individual, and I feel like I have a greater sense of who I am, having gone through therapy and understanding, I guess, what mental health means to me. I mean, it's such a personal experience.
There's no gain without a little bit of pain. Is that a fair summary?
That's right. Hiking up the mental health mountain.
Well, it does seem a little unusual that your first experience with anxiety was in a very natural, wonderful environment. I'm not quite sure why it would have cropped up then. Do you think it had been building up?
Mm-mm. They're good questions. I probably don't have the, the answer for that. But I would say that being in that environment in that third world country, and you know, in experiencing incredible landscapes, would have enabled me to kind of tap into those sorts of thoughts, I would say, or that kind of headspace.
Right. Mm. So what other sort of wellness tools have you adopted over the last 15 or so years?
I love doing exercise, and I spend most days exercising for an hour or two. And I think everyone, irrespective of whether you suffer some form of mental health illness or not, I think fitness really helps improve your kind of your mental and physical strength. And as for other aspects, I think hydration, plenty of sleep, healthy eating, and being around good people are all really key things to be mindful of. There's definitely, you know, in the last few years, there's definitely been quite a presence or quite a conversation around mindfulness and meditation or yoga.
Well, I'm a great champion of all those three. I've discovered mindfulness in the last 6 or 7 years, and I've just come from a philosophy class, actually, at Philosophy New Zealand, where they say that, mindfulness really is the source of happiness, of truth, and of awareness. That's a big rap for mindfulness, but I do believe that.
I agree, yes. For probably 3 or so years, I went to the School of Philosophy, and, you know, like you, I find it incredibly grounding and helpful to refer back to philosophical texts and to engage in those kinds of conversations or, you know, meditate. I think it's a great tool.
That interest in philosophy, I mean, was that part of your search to find different values, better mental health, better physical health?
No, I wouldn't say it was linked, but I would say that reflecting back on it now, it certainly has helped, yes.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this publication, Mental. When did you start promoting it?
We started promoting it probably about 8 months ago, and we put together a brief and reached out to our community and to the media for a call for submissions. And we've been working with individuals on a case-by-case basis and working with them closely to share their story.
There are quite a number of books, videos. I was involved with a documentary on TV3 called The Road to Recovery, which told personal stories. I was part of that, and I guess a couple of the things that I wanted to get across was the value of exercise, and it showed me playing tennis and that sort of thing in that documentary. But my point is that there are quite a few resources. Are you targeting particularly, say, young people, people under 25, those people that are vulnerable to suicide and self-harm and depression?
We're wanting it to be as inclusive as possible. So all races, ethnicities, ages, sizes, and life experiences. We're not targeting any particular cohort of New Zealanders.
So do you have, if you like, a goal in putting this publication together, or goals?
Well, I guess our main goal or our main vision is to see the publication complete and to reach as many eyes and ears as possible in New Zealand and further afield.
So where could people get in touch with you, Liv?
We have an email address, mentalcontributions@gmail.com, so people can reach out to us to either chat to us about their own experiences, to submit a story, or perhaps support us in any other kind of way. We are wanting this to be a community-led project, and it's so important to have as many people involved as possible.
Well, of course, a lot of mental health care happens in the community now, doesn't it? It doesn't happen in the big psychiatric bins that used to prevail as part of New Zealand's mental health care. So I would hope that there's a lot of support for this project coming from the community. I mean, you are mounting a fundraising campaign. I think you want to be able to employ an editor and supporters and that sort of thing. How's that going?
It's gone really well. We've got just under 2 weeks to go. It's through the fantastic local arts fundraising platform called boosted.org.nz, and the campaign's under Mental, and we've raised about $2,000 as of this morning. And we're hoping to raise $5,000 to remunerate the team to design and brand and edit the publication.
So this Boosted website is like crowdfunding or...?
Yes, it is. So we've reached out to our friends and whānau and the community to help us, and we'd really appreciate the support if there are any listeners who are interested in donating to this great cause.
Yeah, well, I've got your background email here, and so that website, it looks as though it's www.boosted.org.nz. Is that all the detail that people would need if they wanted to contribute to Mental?
You'd need to search for Mental once you have got to the Boosted .org.nz page.
Okay, so
you'd search for Mental and you'd find our Boosted page through that.
So if any listeners wanted to contribute, they could just go to www.boosted.org.nz/ would Mental, just putting Mental in there, would get through to you?
Yes, it should do, yes.
And so people could contribute online as little or as much as they would like?
That would be great, yes. You know, we appreciate it. It's a hard time of the year with Christmas coming up. So, you know, just a small small nomination would be, you know, greatly appreciated by us.
Have you ever done a project like this before?
I have produced and written a poetry book a few years ago, but I haven't co-produced a publication, no, not like this. So it's a great pleasure and honour to be working with Charlotte, my friend, and also all of the contributors. It's quite a humbling project to be involved in.
Yes. So have any of the sort of major players in mental health, I guess, like I was thinking of the Mental Health Foundation, have any of them come to the party in any way?
The foundation hasn't come to the party in terms of donating, but we are in conversation with them, and we would love to work with them and any other mental health organisations. And we have reached out to several. We've had some interest from local MPs, which is fantastic, and the ex-mental health commissioner met with us a couple of weeks ago at a conference that we presented at. So we are speaking to as many people as possible to get the word out and to get the support that we need.
So that would be Lynn, is it, the ex-mental health commissioner?
Mary Fagan?
Oh, Mary O'Hagan.
Mary O'Hagan, sorry. Yes, Mary O'Hagan.
Oh, well, she's been a great ambassador and still is a great ambassador of mental health, and probably has been involved in projects like this in the past, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely. She was hugely supportive. It was great to connect with her.
So anyone wanting to make a contribution or to get in, just getting in touch with you, you can do that through mentalcontributions@gmail.com.
Yes, that's correct. We'd love to hear from everyone, you know, and I think that's the important thing to realise with this project, is that it is inclusive of everyone, and you know, we're open to hearing from all walks of life.
Well, if you've already had 80, you said, I think you described them as submissions or contributions, it might become quite a large publication, or are you going to sort of have to do some editing?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, right. Thankfully we've got some great editors on board who are helping us already.
So. Oh, that's great. Mm. So the quality of those contributions, are they meeting your expectations?
They are, yes. They sure are. We've got quite a detailed brief that we send out to all people who are interested, and that helps shape people's writing, and we provide them all with some, you know, tips on the quality of writing that we're looking for the publication.
Well, I'd very much like to see a copy of that brief, actually, and I think our producer here, Declan, probably would be interested as well, just to see the brief and possibly respond. We've
Wonderful.
Both been around
Absolutely.
The mental health traps for a little while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. I'll send it through. Thank you.
Right. Okay, well, you know, congratulations on what is a pretty challenging sort of a project, I would imagine. I was going to ask you, though, you mentioned a poetry publication. Is poetry one of your sort of tools in your wellness toolbox?
It has been, yes. Right. I have always picked up a pen when I need to get out my thoughts. I know there is some kind of great action in getting up in the morning and writing 3 pages worth of words or poetry when you first wake up. I don't do that, but I would love to. But I certainly use poetry as much as I can.
Mm. Yeah, three pages of
yes.
Wow.
It's a bit ambitious, isn't it? Yes.
Well, first thing in the morning, I try and do my mindfulness for the first 30 minutes as soon as I get out of bed, which I find incredibly beneficial, and I think has been the major source of wellness for me. Mm. I've actually got an article in front of me, and it was something I was going to ask you about. I think Rachel Smalley wrote an article after an interview with a doctor who was warning that we are all, well, not all perhaps, but many of us are over-medicated. I just wondered if medication was a, you know, was one of the wellness tools that you used?
Mm, that's a great question. I saw that article the other day from Rachel. I have used medication from time to time over the past 15 years. I wouldn't have taken medication for eight or 9 years. And I certainly know a lot of people who are, I don't want to use the word addicted, but I would say reliant on medication on a daily basis, and it's certainly not something that I think is necessary for everyone. I think it is overly prescribed. It is easy to go to your GP and say, hey, I've got a low mood and I stay in bed quite a lot, please can I have some antidepressants. It certainly wasn't critical for my journey in terms of in terms of where I am now and my wellness. But I do see the role, you know, I do see that it plays a different role for different individuals, and for some it is, you know, it is very important.
Well, one of the, I suppose, weaknesses when it comes to medication to address anxiety is that often those medications are highly addictive.
Yes, they are.
I'm not so sure that we are alerted to just how addictive they are.
I agree. And I don't think there's a lot of education around that. It's interesting. There's probably more media out there around the use of antidepressants or other prescription medication for mental health, but there isn't so much out there around the value of different forms of therapy, which I find interesting.
Yeah, do you think mindfulness is being promoted heavily enough as a tool for mental health wellness?
That's a good question. I think that mindfulness, kind of like the green smoothie and kind of like yoga, has become a trend or a fad. And while that is fantastic, because I think all three of those are wonderful necessities to have in your life, I do wonder whether people are being educated in the right kind of way around mindfulness and the value it does bring to your day-to-day life.
So you think it's sort of becoming a little bit of a status pursuit rather than a serious wellness tool?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, which would be a shame because, well, in my personal experience, it has been the most valuable therapy that I could recommend, and luckily, pretty much luckily stumbled on, really. I mean, a Lifeline counsellor gave me a CD to take home. I don't know that he was actually even authorised to distribute this CD, but it just fitted with all of the, well, it complemented, really, many of the other strategies that I had been adopting somewhat unsuccessfully. So mindfulness has been just a great resource and asset and strength for me.
That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah. Well, thank you then, Liv. I know you've got an appointment to go to in 15 minutes or so, and thank you for making yourself available. And
I'd
very much like to see that brief, as would Declan, the producer here at Mental Health Radio. So thank you very much for your contribution today.
Thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you.
Bye. You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
So we'll take a music break in what is a little bit of a chaotic day on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. We've missed talking to one of our main guests. We will try and get in touch with her during this music break. So what have you got for us, Declan?
Well, I've got a frog in my throat at the moment, firstly. Anne Murray, Danny's song. Picked it last night. Here you go. And, of course, you're listening to Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
People smoke and they tell me I'm the lucky one. We've just begun. I think I'm gonna have a son. He will be like him and me, as free as a dove, conceived in love. The sun is gonna shine above. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. Everything will bring a change. Love him and he'll bring you love. if you find he helps your mind, better take him home. Yeah, don't you live alone. Try to win what love is on. And even though
from us, Community Notice Board.
So, coming up this Friday, and we were hoping to talk to some of the organisers of this, there is a Tuwhera Open Door Whānau Support Group, which is proudly presenting the Waiōku Drug Resource Awareness Expo. Now, this is sponsored by Maramahu Ministries, and it says that this is going to be at the Waiōku Memorial Town Hall on Friday, the 24th of November. The Town Hall is on the corner of Queen Street and Victoria Avenue. There's going to be the Drug Resource Awareness Expo, which is going to run until from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then following after that, between 1 and 3, they're going to have a meth and whānau intervention workshop with Peter Thorburn of Meth Education and Solution Services. Now, I understand that Waiōku does have a significant meth issue out there, so a lot of people have supported this Waiōku Drug Resource Awareness Expo. So, as I've said, the expo will run from 10 in the morning until 12. Participants can arrive anywhere from 9:15 a.m. in the morning, and this is at the Waiōku Memorial Town Hall, which is on the corner of Queen Street, Waiōku and Victoria Avenue. And then following that is going to be the meth and whānau intervention workshop, which will take place from 1 until 3. We were also hoping to talk today to Charlisa Harris of Two Face Drama Company. They are coming to Auckland in December, so you could check out on Google the Two Face Drama Company. Also, there is a workshop coming up this Thursday, in fact, November 2017 at the St. Columba Church Auditorium in T. Rākau Drive, Botany. This is running in from 1 until 4:30. It's actually at 480 T. Rākau Drive in Botany. And this is counteracting the pornography culture in our children and youth. It's a free professional development workshop presented by Australian educator, author and speaker Liz Walker. Liz will incorporate international research and personal insights, bringing understanding about the impacts of pornography on child and youth relational sexual development. presented within a holistic health-focused approach. So it says the workshop is for school educators at all levels, social workers, counsellors, psychologists, carers of children and youth, youth leaders and workers across all segments, sexual assault and violence workers, health professionals, student welfare workers and well-being professionals. So this is a workshop counteracting the pornography culture in our children and youth. The workshop is free. You can register at reception at pakcc.org.nz. That's reception at pakcc.org.nz. Or you can ring Auckland 09576. 4248. Now, the Pakuranga Counselling Centre is involved and the local Howick local board is also involved in this. I think it's an issue which has a significant bearing on youth mental health. So this is the workshop, Counteracting the Pornography Culture in Our Children and Youth, a very challenging issue. Have you got another music track there, Declan, that we could play?
Well, I actually was going to put on Pakeri Kariana.
Why would you do that?
Well, I thought you might like it. It's actually done by Hayley Westenrick.
Oh, well, that sounds great.
Do you want to have a listen? Yeah. Why not? Let's get it going.
Now, I guess today, Liv Young referred to an article about the incidence of depression and anxiety among Kiwi youth. I've actually got the report of that. It says Ministry of Health figures have revealed that a growing number of young New Zealanders are battling psychological distress. That distress was defined in a survey that's been undertaken as having high or very high probability of anxiety or depressive disorder. The percentage of 15 to 24-year-olds struggling with mental health has been steadily increasing, according to the ministry, affecting 5% 5 years ago, 8.6% in the 2015-2016 year, and 11.8% in the past year. So that's almost 12% of young people aged between 15 to 24 who are battling psychological distress. The estimated number of young people experiencing that distress has increased in the past year from 58,000 to 79,000. Some of the reasons could be that there are long waiting times for young people seeking mental health help, that also their mental health funding has been cut, particularly in Canterbury. So it says 1 in 10 young Kiwis seeking mental health support is left waiting more than 2 months to be seen by a professional. New Zealand also has the highest youth suicide rates between the ages of 15 and 19 in the OECD. And we were talking, quoting from the Herald's article, talking to David Parker, the new Minister of Health, that you know, there are over 600 people who take their lives through suicide each year. So the Green Party has pledged this year to offer free counselling for people under 25. Its party leader, James Shaw, said in September that New Zealand could do more to support people through hard times. Well, it's heartening to know that the Labor-led government is going to bring back the Mental Health Commission also that there's going to be an inquiry into mental health services. So how are we doing for time? We're just about right there. So, yes, apologies to our listeners that we had a few glitches in our broadcast today. Some of those things happened sort of were out of our control. So thank you again for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday at 12:30 on Planet FM.
And I was just going to drop a little thing in there saying, if you're feeling down and out, I always say, head up, young person, and you're talking on suicide. It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. So hang in there, get some support, chat to your mates, and we'll see you next week.